pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, as we open your word, may you speak to us once again, because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of my sermon this morning is The Ways of the Lord. The Ways of the Lord. We've been studying the book of Hosea. And today we will finish the book of Hosea. You might think, what? It's 14 chapters long, and you're finishing in 2 days? I know I'm not making justice to the book, but I'm going to ask you to read some of it at home. Amen? And study it. I'm going to just go through some of the major points in the chapters that we will be studying today. As you know, Hosea is a prophet from the 8th century. And with him were other prophets also speaking to the people of God. Isaiah was one of them. Micah was another one. Amos was another one of these prophets. Their accounts were very personal. They share with us not only the message of God, but a lot of their own struggles and feelings regarding this message. Yes, it was not easy. Their mission was a dangerous one. You see, they were not only speaking to the inhabitants of Israel, but they were also speaking to the leaders, the religious leaders of the nation, the political leaders of the nation. And you might ask, why would God use fragile human beings for this task? Why? Why would he send somebody like Hosea? His name was a very common name. Means salvation. Ironically, the last king of Israel, his name was Hoshea, which also means salvation. The book of Hosea gives us a glimpse as to how much Hosea knew about baking. So maybe he was a baker by profession. But his message is one that goes between a poem and a narration, a song and a story. It's one that uses very sparingly geographical names, zoological ones, and personal names. You will not find the name of the king he is addressing. You will not find the name of the priest he's addressing. There is no storyline per se. It's not a book you would read to relax or daydream. It's a book you would read and you would start asking very deep and serious questions. How would I have done under such a situation? How would I have responded? In some sections of this book, you seem to lose your way, only to find some words of comfort and courage. And once again, find the ways of the Lord. The ways of the Lord. The prophet Isaiah, who was preaching to the southern kingdom, says in Isaiah 55, verses 6 through 11, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bare and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. it shall not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter which I sent it. What are the ways of the Lord? Are they a secret? Is it something that God has forgotten to reveal? Something you kind of bump into, find out on your own? Hosea, in his book, presents us a message showing the people of Israel, showing us the ways of the Lord. Chapter 4 in the book of Hosea, if you have your Bibles, open it there. Begin with something different. If somebody comes to you and tells you right off the bat, I have a problem, they really have a problem. You see, most people, what do they do? Hi, how are you? How's your day? And, you know, they give an introduction, and then they tell you their problem. Well, not Hosea. Hosea in chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, tells the nation of Israel, what is the problem? Listen to the word of the Lord. Verse 1, O sons of Israel, for the Lord has a case against the inhabitants of the land, because there is what? No truth. There is what? No mercy. And what else is there lacking? Knowledge of God in the land. If this was little, verse 2 gives us a little more explicit information. There is what? Swearing, deception, murder, stealing, and adultery. They employ violence so that bloodshed follows bloodshed. Where is this happening? Israel. Aren't these God's people? We're shocked all this is happening there. Chapter 5, if you follow with me, verse 1. Hear this, O priests. Give heed, O house of Israel. Listen, O house of the king, for the judgments apply to you. Hosea was addressing this message to the religious leaders of his time. He was telling the priests, priests, listen. Listen what you are doing. You've gone astray. And chapter 6, verse 7, gives us an example of the things they were doing. Hosea chapter 6, verse 7. We are going to be using our Bible. So if you don't have one, there's one right in front of you. It's red, and you can open it to the book of Hosea. Hosea chapter 6, verse 7. But like Adam, they have transgressed the covenant. There they have dealt treacherously against me. Gilead is a city of wrongdoers, tracked with bloody footprints. And as raiders wait for a man, so a band of what? Priests murder on the way to Shechem. Surely they have committed crime in the house of Israel. I have seen a horrible thing. Ephraim's harlotry is there. Israel has defiled itself. Hosea mentions the city of Gilead, the city of Shechem, a place where religious people were enticing others, or maybe they themselves were involved in stealing and murdering. And God was seeing this. Now Shechem, the city that is mentioned here, would be considered our Vegas, our Tijuana, our Ciudad Juarez. A city with a bad reputation. You see, in Shechem, Jacob had built an altar. He had brought his family right after he had met Esau, remember? And they had made this pact. he took his sons and they went and settled close to the city of Shechem. And there was a young man by that name as well, Shechem. And his father was there and a lot of people. And he did something very, very disgraceful, shameful to Dinah, one of the daughters of Jacob. Well, the brothers thought it was time to pay back. They were going to take justice into their hand. And so they went and convinced them that they should do something. And when they were circumcised, that's what they convinced them to do. Dan and Levi grabbed their sword and they killed all the men of the city. They killed them all. Jacob was under so much stress. What have you done? Now where are we going to go? People are going to just come down on us. They're not going to want to be our neighbors. Shechem was the city where Joseph went to see where his brothers were tending the sheep. And you know what happened to Joseph, right? He came to Shechem and there was a man there. And he said, are my brothers here? No, they're not here. They're in Dothan, just, you know, down the way. He went there and his brothers greeted him. No, they grabbed him. They took his clothes off. They dumped him in a pit without water. And then Ishmaelites, Midianites from Shechem, from Gilead, says the word of God, came and they bought Joseph. Then they sold Joseph in Egypt. Not a good reputation, Shechem. A lot of bad things had happened there. And God was saying of Shechem, you have become worthless. What have you done? Did you not think that I would see these things? That your iniquities would be in front of my face? Chapter 7, verse 1. When I would heal Israel, the iniquity of Ephraim is uncovered, and the evil deeds of Samaria, for they deal falsely. The thief enters in, bandits raid outside, and they do not consider in their heart that I remember all their wickedness. Now their deeds are all around them. They are before my face. With their wickedness they make the king glad, and the princes with their lies. They are adulterers like an oven heated by the baker who ceases to stir up the fire from the kneading of the dough until it is leavened. On the day of our king, the princes became sick with the heat of wine. He stretched out his hand with scoffers, for their hearts are like an oven, and they approach their plotting. Their anger smolders all night. In the morning, it burns like a flaming fire. All of them are hot like an oven. And they consume their rulers. All their kings have fallen. None of them calls on me. Ephraim, Israel, mixes himself with the nations. Ephraim has become a cake not turned. Has anybody done any bakery? And you put in, you know, make bread or a pie or something. And you put it in the oven and it heats up and it looks so nice when you look at it from the outside and you bring it out. And then you go and you cut a slice and you just put it in your mouth and you grab some milk to go with it. Oh, but it's not cooked inside. What a disappointment. What a disappointment. Israel had mixed himself with the nations and had become like a cake not turned. What are these nations? Verse 11 tell us. So Ephraim has become like a silly dove without sense. They call to Egypt. They go to Assyria. Now Egypt and Assyria were two of the most powerful nations in the time of Hosea. Two of the most powerful nations. They were not friends. They were enemies. They were constantly fighting for territory. guess who tried to befriend both of them? Israel. He went to Assyria and made a covenant. You will be my best friend. And then he went down to Egypt and he said, you will be my best friend. Now, you have a best friend or somebody you consider your friend. And if that person has another friend who does not consider you your friend, who actually does not like you, does not want the best for you, does that person necessarily become a good friend? No, we stop trusting that person. We think twice, wait a second, what's going on here? But Israel was doing that. He was going to Assyria, then going to Egypt, and trying to befriend them both. Nothing bad about having your neighbors become your friend. But something happened every time they made a covenant. Something happened every time they came together and they said, I promise, I swear. And they had to swear for in the name of something greater than themselves. So if you go to the Bible and you see God swearing, he always swears by himself. Always. There's nothing greater than God. He always swears by his name, by himself. And Israelites had to go to the nations in Assyria, and they had to swear in the name of Ishtar, Hadad. They had to go to Egypt, and they had to swear in the name of Osiris, Ra, the sun god. They had to swear in the name of all these false gods. Rely on their own strength, on their own knowledge. And God was watching this. God was watching this. How would you react? I know how I would have reacted. But God's ways are not our ways. God's ways are not our ways. So God tries to do something beautiful, powerful. He reminds his people that they go way back. Israel, we go way back. I was in fifth grade elementary school. I had moved from Mexico. From fourth grade, I completed fourth grade in Mexico, went to Florida, Delray Beach Public School, started fifth grade there. Halfway through, my dad was in Michigan in that meanwhile. Dad says, come on over. I have an apartment where we can all be together. So mom, my sister, and myself, we moved to Michigan, to Bering Springs, Michigan. This was my second time going back to Michigan. And so we moved there, and I was starting right in the middle of the school year. Fifth grade. And I walked into that room, and all these eyes were looking at me. Who is that guy? And the teacher presented me. He said, this is Samuel Nunez, and he's joining our class today. He will be in our fifth grade elementary school. And then I looked around, and I saw somebody that looked at me and said, I know you. We were together in kindergarten. Yeah, I remember you too. We go way back. We go way back. All of a sudden, I felt at home. I felt like I was with family. And God tries to do the same with his people. He tries to remind them, hey, we are family. Look, let me share with you. If you turn with me to Hosea. Hosea chapter 11. Verses 1 and on. When Israel was a youth, Hosea says, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. The more they called them, the more they went from them. They kept sacrificing to the Baals and burning incense to idols. Yet it is I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them in my arms, but they do not know that I healed them. I led them with cords of a man, with bonds of love, and I became to them as one who lifts the yoke from their jaws, and I bent down and I fed them. Israel, we go way back. We go way back. Chapter 12, verse 9. But I have been the Lord your God since the land of Egypt. I will make you live in tents again, as in the days of the appointed festival. Chapter 13, verse 4. Yet I have been the Lord your God since the land of Egypt, and you were not to know any God except me, for there is no Savior beside me. I cared for you in the wilderness, in the land of drought. As they had their pasture, they became satisfied, and being satisfied, their heart became proud. Therefore, they forgot me. Israel, we go way back, before the Egyptians, before the Assyrians. Remember, I am the one who made a covenant with you. I'm the one who brought you out of the bondage of slavery. And then we come to a section that I consider it one of the saddest pictures of an almighty God, of an all-powerful God, a God whose ways are not our ways. Hosea chapter 11, verse 8. How can I give you up, O Ephraim? How can I surrender you, O Israel? How can I make you like Admah? How can I treat you like Zeboim? My heart is turned over within me. All my compassions are kindled. I will not execute my fierce anger. I will not destroy Ephraim again. For I am God and not man, the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come in wrath. They will walk after the Lord. He will roar like a lion. Indeed, he will roar, and his sons will come trembling from the west. They will come trembling like birds from Egypt and like doves from the land of Assyria, and I will settle them in their houses, declares the Lord. Amen? A picture that I could only imagine a father speaking directly to his children, or a mother speaking to his child, saying, son, don't go down that way. Please don't. You're only going to hurt yourself. A God who is exclaiming this with tears in his eyes, with a trembling voice. I can't let you go down that path. It only leads to destruction. Get some counsel from me, Ephraim. Hosea chapter 10, just a few chapters before, one chapter before, verse 12. God counsels Israel and says, sow with a view to righteousness. Reap in accordance with kindness. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, until he comes to rain righteousness on you. Listen, Israel, you don't have to get the consequences. If you sow with righteousness, you will reap kindness. You will reap mercy. Follow this instruction. But verse 13 tells us what they did. You have plowed wickedness. You have reaped injustice. You have eaten the fruit of lies because you have trusted in your ways, in your numerous warriors. Israel, why have you gone astray? Why do you trust yourself? What would you have done? What would you have said? We come to a point in the book where everything seems frustrating. Tension, stress. Nothing is happening with Israel. They're not changing their ways. They are not listening to their God. Would you have given up? Would you have said, enough? I tried reminding you how back we go. I tried counseling you what to do, and you still don't listen. But you see, God's ways are not our ways. There's a story in the Bible that reminds me. I connect it to the story, and then it just happened a few weeks ago that I said, wow, this must be somehow connected. There's another man in the Bible whose name is Salvation. This man met a woman who was a promiscuous woman, who was living with a man who was not her husband. This man met this woman in the city of Sychar, if that's how you say it. The Greek or Latin version, some scholars say, of the city of Shechem. Yes, that infamous city, Shechem. Yes, it was in the region of Samaria. And this man, named Yeshua, which means the Lord saves, God saves, met this woman and told her that he had water, that he had living water that she could drink of, and not only herself, but all the inhabitants of that city. You see, God's ways are not our ways. He had not forgotten. He had not forgotten what he had promised to his children. And this woman brought all these inhabitants out from the city. And Jesus spent 3 days with them. I don't know if they studied the book of Hosea, if they read through it, if they went through the story of how God had tried time after time after time to invite them to repent. And if they did read the book of Hosea, I want to think they read chapter 14, our scripture reading. Will you open your Bibles and read it with me? The promise that God had made centuries before. Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, take away all our iniquity and receive us graciously. that we may present the fruits of our lips. Assyria will not save us. We will not ride on horses, nor will we say again, our gods, to the work of our hands. For in thee the fatherless finds mercy. I will heal their apostasy. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned away from them. I will be like the dew to Israel. He will blossom like the lily, and he will take root like the cedars of Lebanon. His shoots will sprout, and his beauty will be like the olive tree, and his fragrance like the cedars of Lebanon. Those who live in his shadow will again rise again, and they will blossom like the vine. His renown will be like the wine of Lebanon. O Ephraim, what more have I to do with idols? It is I who answer and look after you. I am like a luxuriant cypress. From me comes your fruit. Whoever is wise, let him understand these things. Whoever today is discerning, let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, upright, and the righteous will walk in them, but transgressors will stumble in them. Amen. I want to believe that the people in that city of Shechem accepted the water of life. I want to believe today that water is still available for you and for me. I want to believe that there are many still out there in Shechem that have not heard of this living water. And they need to know before it is too late. I want to believe that the ways of the Lord are righteous, are upright. And all those who walk in them are wise. Amen.